Blog Talk Radio.
Author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
By Scaling the Ladder of Love. Nicole, am I on air, by the way?
You are on air, Cindy,
okay,
yes.
Because I don't know what's happening here with Blog Talk Radio, so let me start again.
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
All of a sudden they said, thanks for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. So, okay. Okay, I'm the author.
Well, that
of Brent.
Is because you came in. That's because you came in on three different lines simultaneously, so I had to cut out the other two lines because everybody was hearing everything that you were saying twice and on an echo.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to start your opening monologue again.
Okay, we'll start from the beginning. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Rath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love is a big topic. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, I guess we're on the air, Nicole. It's a little discerning when I heard my voice coming back three times, too, you know?
So, don't worry. You're all okay now. We're both on the air, so it's perfectly fine.
Okay, good. And so how was your week?
It was not too shabby. I cannot complain whatsoever. I had a wonderful week. And how was your week?
Oh, everything is great. The weather's been nice a little bit, so we've gone swimming a few times, and I always love that. And, I love the warmer weather. And I'm so glad that the Blog Talk Radio is up and running. It gave me a little bit of a panic because, I was actually going, what's happening? I don't know what's happening.
Why you need me, Cindy?
I know. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. But I can see my husband, TJ, who's sailing. He's probably calling from Three Mile Harbor in East Hampton. So maybe we could put him on and get the show rolling and hear what he might have to say. Hello, TJ.
Hello, ladies.
Hello. How's everything on the water?
I am on the water. I just put the sails down and killed the motor, everything, so it'd be nice and quiet. I'm just floating. The wind is dying. We don't need a weather report. Anyway, dear, 10 o'clock is a good time to come home.
Yes, that'll be fine.
And I'll bring you some Chinese food because I know you probably haven't eaten all day.
Well, I ate a little bit, but thank you. I'd appreciate that.
All right, Nicole, you take care of my woman. I'm dying to see the...
Oh, I will do this.
I'm dying to see the video, the work you did together that you produced.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, actually, my editor was having a little bit of computer issues this week, so we should have a product early next week, in time for the deadline, so we should be great.
Great, okay, that's terrific.
Pulling for deadline stuff. I was just saying I'm dying. Because that day while you were there, I was walking the dog all around not to bother you.
I know, TJ. I felt so bad.
I love you both. You guys have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Bye, TJ.
Bye, dear. Now, I can see we have some callers, which always makes me happy because, we have the most loyal listeners, and some people listen every single week. I see the same phone numbers every week, and they don't often ask to come on, to speak with us, but I'm just impressed that they listen. That makes me so happy.
Oh, yes. All right, so
now,
as usual, we're going to go to the number that has been waiting the longest. And, you know, because, like I said, we had some technical difficulties earlier, so we did get a couple of people blown off. But luckily we have a couple of people that want to talk to us. As always, I do not screen the first call. But just so that you know that we're speaking to you when I say you're on the air, the last four digits of your number are 6016. So let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, and who is this?
This is Tanika.
Hi,
Sue. Hi,
Tanika. How are you doing this week?
Up and down, up and down. I wanted to call in to see if you felt anything, and if not, I would just listen, but I figured I would just ask, because sometimes I feel something, sometimes I wonder, because I feel something, and sometimes I don't, so I just wanted to see, like, what you saw.
Okay, about the guy that you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I can see he still hasn't contacted you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and what I'm seeing with him is just more distraction, more turning his back on the love that you had given him, not you personally, but on the higher love you offered. And, you know, he does think about you, no doubt, but he's a little bit of a coward, by the way. So, you know, he's a little afraid at some level to become involved with you because he'd have to grow up, and he's not ready to grow up. I'm not seeing that that's changed. Are you going out and trying to have a life now without him?
Well, I'm just working each day, but he's always on my mind, like nonstop, morning, night, all day long. Like, but I just, you know, go about my day just wondering if he's going to come back, like trying to be patient, like wondering if he's going to contact me, if anything is going to happen. Like,
I'm not seeing him coming back, in all honesty. I'm seeing him knowing that he can wait because you'll probably be waiting for him because he knows you're a good person. And but I don't see him contacting you anytime too soon at this point. He's, you know, he knows that you love him, and he kind of feels like, well, I can just keep her on the string for a while longer, and if I feel like coming back, I will. But he is involved with that girl that's not good.
Uh-huh.
Back with her, talking with her, and whatever their relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, if you contact him, I don't think it's, you know, maybe he would see you, but, you know, then he wouldn't see you for another 2 months. I don't know if you want to keep going back and forth for more of that. You know, it's not that he doesn't miss you. He does. But, again, this is a guy who isn't probably going to change in this lifetime. And, you know, at this point, I'm not seeing any changes other than what I've been saying for the last, since you came to me about him in the beginning. He's really a man who doesn't know what he wants, doesn't want to grow up, and pretty much wants his cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it would be up to you if you wanted to contact him at this point and see what's going on.
What is going on with him and this girl? I mean, does he love her? Is he in love with her? Like,
no, they don't love each other. They've just been in each other's lives a long time, and no matter what he does or she does, they're always back and forth with each other. They have some drug connection here, things
yeah.
that they like to do that you don't like to do,
mm-hmm.
like get stoned. So, you know, when people have addictions, sometimes they're just drawn to people who have addictions. And, you know, he doesn't want to stop with that, so... It's what's been there for a long time with them. They're just always back and forth with each other. And even though he said he was swore off of her because she's trouble, that doesn't appear to be what's going on here. It just looks like, and he's also online. Have you checked out the website where you met him?
No, I haven't gone back. I had seen that he had gone back on there after we kind of, like, broke up last month, but I just haven't gone back. And, I mean, I was wondering, you know, if he has been with anyone else or anything like that. I don't feel like he has, but that's why I say sometimes I feel like he's going to contact me.
And again, you know, you might at this point try to contact him. Maybe you need to hear what he has to say, even if it's not what you want to hear, so that you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely on the dating sites. But, you know, what I could see in these cards, he's on the dating sites. he's distracting with, you know, trying to meet women, talk to them, and, you know, that seems to be filling his time too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, are you thinking about trying to contact him?
No,
you've given him a long time when you didn't contact him.
Yeah,
so,
and I was hoping that he would contact me. Like, that's why sometimes I feel like he's going to contact me. I was trying not to contact him. Like, I want him to contact me on his own.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but you could wait a long time. So maybe you need to hear him say he's moved on, he's not interested. It might hurt for you to hear that. Maybe you're afraid you're going to hear what he might say. But at this point, sometimes we just need to hear what someone's, what, I mean, it doesn't matter what he's thinking. I know, we know he cares about you, but if he's thinking, I'm not ready for that, maybe you need to hear what he would have to say so that you could close the door and start moving forward.
Right.
I mean, he's leaving you out in the open market for a long time, so that would make me think that he's, you know, he doesn't seem to care if you find somebody else at this point. And that would get him off the hook, too. Then he'd say, well, she didn't really love me all that much. So if I were you, you know, normally I tell you, take your 2 feet out, don't contact him, let him miss you. But because you're almost obsessing about him and not moving on in your life, maybe you need to hear what he has to say.
Okay.
Nicole, do you have anything to add to that? Because this seems to be something you know a lot about, too.
Well, actually, I was in the chat room, so I missed the beginning of the call. So
but
all
she's been
I heard
not
was,
contacting him. She kept her 2 feet out with this guy who sort of wants his cake and eat it too, who they were very close for a brief period of time, and then he started pulling away. He calls her, don't call me kinds of things. And, you know, I advised her a long time, you know, was it about a month ago now at least?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not to contact him, but he hasn't contacted her, and she's still obsessing about him, and I thought maybe she should really call him and see what's going on with him, because maybe she needs to hear from him that he's
mm-hmm.
not ready, he's not wanting this.
Okay, well, in general, my rule of thumb is this, is that if you're taking 2 feet out of a relationship and you're trying to manifest something better for yourself or better even for the two of you in some circumstances, if you even have a notion that that maybe by taking the 2 feet out that you're going to draw them back to you, my overall rule of thumb there is going to have to fall in the if you are obsessing about it after you remove those 2 feet, that can sometimes be almost as dangerous as staying in the relationship for the wrong reason and not taking 2 feet out. The reason being is that you're taking 2 feet out by proving a point and by showing, listen, you're going to have the respect enough for yourself to walk away from somebody or something that is not treating you properly or that is not willing to take the steps that you need them to take, okay? And that you're removing yourself from that situation and that you're going to, and that you will, you know, eventually, you know, receive them when they come back, you know, to you, if they come back to you. By obsessing over it, you're kind of putting it out there that you don't want anything better to come along until this person decides to grow up, which means that you could be waiting for a very, very long time. You know, it's almost kind of like a reverse manifestation. You're taking your 2 feet out so that you can manifest something better, but then you're blocking that something better from coming forth by obsessing over what you just took 2 feet out of. If this particular person is not talking to you, not contacting you, and, you know, and he's pulled away and now he's almost, you know, I guess settled now that you've taken 2 feet out, don't obsess over it. You know, just if this is your time to walk away. But if you don't think that you can do that unless you get a confirmation, then by all means, call him and say, hey, listen, I'm sitting around here like an ass waiting for you to come around, and you're still not contacting me. So what is the deal here? You know, should I be expecting you to be knocking at my door, or do you really want me just to completely move on? You know, and then that might get you your answer. But my personal opinion and my gut feeling on it is that if he's not contacting you, then you've already made it clear that you are moving on. You're taking 2 feet out. He probably assumes that you've already moved on, and he's not expecting you to come knocking at his door anytime soon or calling back. You know, so if it were me, I would be walking, I would take my 2 feet out, I would stop obsessing over it, because like I said, by obsessing over the thing that you're taking 2 feet out on, you're ultimately blocking something better from coming along.
Exactly. And the point is, though, if she's really sitting there obsessing about him almost to the point where it's becoming OCD, an obsessive compulsive thing, and
if that's
going to deplete your serotonin levels, sometimes my gut. I've trusted my gut on situations like this, and I got a voice when said, call him now, call him now. And I did it, and I heard what I didn't want to hear, pretty much acting like he never cared about me, never thought about me. But I needed to hear what he's thinking. And I can't say, well, you really love me. I can't tell these people that he really loves me. I have to say, well, if you don't want to love me, then I have to hear what you're saying. And I have to move on. Whether they're lying, I mean, hearts don't lie. People do lie. But again, people can lie about their feelings for 20 years. Do you want to wait for 20 years? They can lie about it for 30 years. So it's really, love is not this complicated. Love is not this dysfunction. Love is not sitting home obsessing day and night. It's really, if I were her, I would call him up and ask him, what's going on? What are you thinking? Is it over? And see what he has to say.
If it's getting to the point where you're getting OCD about it, then you need confirmation. You know, you're not just going to let it go, and you know what? You're going to wind up making yourself sick over it, if you haven't already. So definitely, don't spend another, wasteful minute obsessing over it. I would just pick up the phone, contact him. I wouldn't necessarily meet him in person, but I would definitely contact him and be like, yo, what's up? What are your thoughts here? And be honest. Say, I was kind of trying to keep the hope alive a little bit, but, you're really giving me no choice but to kill that as well. So what are your thoughts? And listen to what he's saying. Absolutely 100% listen. Don't talk. Listen. Because if you sit there and you're talking, you're only repeating stuff that you already know. You're only repeating stuff that your brain has already processed. If you listen, you're more likely to learn something.
Exactly. And just know that you said you were going to see a health professional, like somebody. Have you done that, going to some psychiatric help at all?
I have an upcoming appointment. I think Monday is when it is.
Okay, good. Because, you may be getting depressed. This situation may have depressed you. And, again, from the beginning when you came to me, his cards did not reveal a fixable person. So if I thought he were fixable, I would tell you stick around. But this is a guy who's got a porn addiction, drug addiction, womanizing, immature. And maybe you're seeing something in him that isn't there, really. Maybe when you're with him, you bring out the best in him, but you're hardly with him. So the worst of him is being brought out most of the time. So, maybe putting your energies into finding, a better career at this point and looking for a better person in your life, getting your license, which you were going to get, so that you can have more freedom to go places. Try to work on you and not waste too much time obsessing on him.
That's honestly the best thing you can do.
Because I've
been in your position before.
We all have.
I've been in that position before where I thought it was like the end of the world when this one person was not going to be around and this and that and everything else. And you know what? I could honestly tell you that once I started seeing the reality of the situation, it was the best move I could have made, and it hurt at the time, and I had a lot of work to do on myself. And you're probably going to have a lot of work to do on yourself, because now you've got to get used to you without that person, So you definitely have some work ahead of you, and you have to do that alone. You can't do that while you're with or chasing another person. Do the work on you, okay? Heal from the upset that you're suffering from this person, and then when you do find that you're okay and you want to move on, you're going to attract somebody that is so more of what you want them to be than you would ever possibly imagined.
Exactly. And Nicole, if you remember the very first time I met you, I didn't know who your partner was at the time, but I did get to know her later on. And from the first reading, it was revealed that this person wasn't going to change much, was always
yep,
going
I
to
know.
Be using you, was always
yes.
going to be causing you this angst. And it took probably
yes.
two more years after your first reading to move on, but you actually did have a relationship with her. It wasn't like you never saw her and you were obsessing. She was
oh,
just
yeah.
being your
no,
life,
no,
coming
no.
and going. Whereas right now, Tanika has no, he's not even in her life.
Yeah,
at all.
No, that's completely different. It's completely different, you know what I mean? And I think that it's great that you had the strength at this juncture to take the 2 feet out. But you know what? Making yourself sick and, you know, and I mean, the mental abuse that you're putting yourself through right now is better than any of the mental abuse that you could have, you know, suffered while you were with him. You know, I mean, sometimes our minds are just the worst thing for us. You know, they get in the way of a lot of things. Sometimes you just have to go with your gut, and you got to go with your heart. And if your gut is telling you that, you know what, if your gut is literally sitting there asking, why isn't he calling, why isn't he calling, that's very, very telling about him. And it's very, very telling about what to move forward with.
I know, exactly. I know to some extent he is a coward. Like, in the past when we would have problems, it would always be me having to, you know, contact him and be like, hello, you know, to see what's
mm-hmm.
going on, so, to kind of, like, talk to him, to let him know, like, everything is fine. Like, he would always kind of, like, be a coward about contacting me. So that's why I was wondering if right now he was waiting for me to contact him like I have in the past, because I know he can be a coward.
But again,
he, like,
well, he has no courage
but
to,
put it this
to love
way.
And grow up more well, than anything.
Exactly. Put it this way, Tamika. If he's sitting there, okay, and he's a coward, okay, there's something to be said for people who are cowards, and there's something to say for people who are shy, okay? And people will you know, some may you know, kind of, you know, just kind of kick me in the ass for this, but I'm going there anyway, okay? People that are cowards and people that are shy, they are the most narcissistic people you
no
will
kidding.
Ever meet in your entire life, okay? They're the most narcissistic, because think about it. If you're shy and you don't go out and you don't want to meet people, and or you have, you know, this anxiety about meeting people, you're pretty much saying that, or rather, you're pretty much so busy worrying about what others are thinking about you that you're not thinking about other people, okay? You're putting yourself as the most important thing in the room, like nobody's got anything better other than to scrutinize you. Therefore, you're not going to talk to anybody. That's my view on shyness. Okay, and the same
yeah,
thing with people
course.
That are cowards. Okay, same thing with people that are cowards. They are so busy thinking, oh, I'm scared. I'm feeling this. I don't want to do this. I. They're not thinking about you. They're waiting for other people to come to them. And you know what? The whole purpose of you taking 2 feet out was so that he said, oh, my God, you know what?
I might lose
her. This girl is a great girl, and I might lose her. I better step up to the plate. And stepping up to the plate takes courage, okay? That's the bottom line. Taking that step forward, taking that step towards love, and taking that step away from that darkness and away from all of the excuses, then guess what? That takes courage. So even for a minute you think, well, maybe he's just a coward and he wants to talk to me, but he's not talking to me, then that in itself is saying that he hasn't really changed much. He's not stepping up to the plate. And if he's thinking about you, he's thinking about you in a very cowardly way, and he's still not taking any steps to becoming the person that you want and the person that you deserve. He's doing exactly the same thing, trying to get the same result. And you are sitting here wondering whether or not you should give him that result.
Exactly. Well, call in and let us know. I want to try to take some other callers.
Okay.
Tanika, let me know what happens. You
good
email
luck,
me.
Good luck, Tanika, honey.
Good,
I will.
Good luck, my dear. Bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Oh, boy, I hate
her. I feel
sometimes
bad
when they
for
do
her.
This to women. I mean, she's such a good
she
cat,
sounds
too.
So
that's what,
sweet.
She's beautiful.
I remember
she's smart. She's
story,
nice.
I remember Tanika.
I know, but we'll pray that
you
she moves forward.
And I hate
now,
it when you have to make me the hard ass. Look at that. Everybody said that we were role reversing. I was being nice, and you made me be mean to Tamika, Cindy.
Well, I made you just be stronger than I feel like being today. I've had to deliver some very
right.
hard messages in the last 4 days.
All
I'm
right.
Tired
well, you
of
know,
being
I'll
a,
take that.
She's
and hope,
a messenger.
And hopefully Tamika will find the help that she needs there. I mean, I feel bad. She's so sweet. So
I know.
All
it's,
right, Cindy,
it's
we will move
messenger.
On.
Now we do have Rosie in Long Island.
We
you
have
said.
Rosie in Long Island, and actually, Rosie has gone to one of your workshops, Cindy, one of your classes on manifestation, And, yeah, she did actually call the show before. But today Rosie is looking for a career reading. She actually left a job that, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, just was not the correct job for her. And she really didn't want to get into that too much. But that was back in April. And she's had a bunch of really, really great interviews, but nothing that's too promising and nothing that's solid. So she wants to know, universe, what is up?
Good question, good question.
All right.
Because she wants a good job,
on.
So God can't just bring her a crappy job, which is always easy to bring. So
exactly.
Let's
but
see
she's
what's
had
here.
The prospects, like I said, but, yep, she's had the prospects, but nothing solid, and she wants to know what is happening in this universe. So with that, Rosie, you are on the air.
Hi, Cindy, how are you?
Good. Okay, I know it seems like a long time to you that April to now, but it's not an excessive amount of time.
No,
have not found a job.
Yeah,
I know. I know. Hardworking people can't stand not to be working. It kind of makes them crazy.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bored.
And you also ask God for a good job. So if you start whining too much, God will bring you a job quickly, but it's going to be like not so great. And you're a very loyal person, and once you start a job, you may stay stuck there too long. So God's trying to keep you from getting a job you'll be stuck at. Have you tried any temp agencies just to do something temporary?
I have been. I'm even working with a few different, like actually, I'm going into the city on Monday to see another recruiter. But I'm also dealing with a recruiter where I've been on interviews for permanent positions, and I'm dealing with the same one to get me a temp position. That could lead to a permanent position.
Right, and even if you just get a temp that you know gives you time to be able to job hunt still, you know that might help you. You're sort of like Tanika who lacks patience or the ability to let's see what manifests without obsessing it. Let's move forward and see if there's something else in the world for us.
Right.
What, and sometimes we just need to have a little bit of patience when we're doing job hunting or love hunting. But
right.
If you're being impatient for someone who's wants a job, the best thing is to try to get something temporary that you know you're going to take your money and run and you're not going to obsess about it. Because
right.
I do see something coming sooner than later for you, by the way.
Okay.
The summer is not always the best job hunting time, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
I hope you're enjoying some of the Long Island nice weather.
And, absolutely.
Okay, good. Because you're a hardworking person, and hardworking people almost never get big chunks of time off from work at all. And
true.
When they're not working, they're so busy obsessing that they don't enjoy the sort of holiday God's given you.
True.
So
yeah,
if
that's
you
very
would
true.
Kind of enjoy the summer in between. I'm not saying don't job hunt hard. You should do that too. But if you've done all you can for the day, go out and relax, go out somewhere, go by the water, go for a walk, try to enjoy the time off. Because otherwise you're going to regret it. When you get a job and all of a sudden you're working nonstop, which we always do. Older souls are what I call the donkey people. They do the work of eight people once they start working. So
right.
Try to just enjoy. It does look very promising here. Are you working on your interview skills a little bit, by the way?
I mean, a little bit. There has been no offers. I mean, there's been one interview that went very, very well. They loved me. I don't know what they're doing. Another one, there was another interview, and I know they're going through rounds of candidates. They're just screening people. But I know it's going to be like another maybe two rounds. So I really don't know, to be honest. I just don't know. You don't really get a lot of feedback.
Have you read any books on interviews, like how to behave, what to answer,
yes.
What to say, what not to say? Because, it's always important to come across well on an interview. I mean, be yourself. You're easy to like. I mean, that goes without saying. But sometimes older souls have a lot of humility, so they don't really promote themselves properly, or they kind of understate things that they've done.
Okay.
And you might want to work on, a little bit stressing all the things that you've done in the past. Try not to get nervous over it because I do see a job coming. It was good you left your last job. That was going to kill you. It wasn't worth dying for.
Can you tell
for.
Me a little bit about this new job? See, I don't know if it's from any of the interviews I've had or if it's something completely new.
Is it something
new?
In a similar field that you've already done? Are you trying in the same field?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I'm not seeing it a hard translation from one job to the next, which means it's similar to what you've done before in the past. It's just getting that better job. And, of course, the interview process is so slow. But there is one interview that you went on one place. It's not decided yet. That one, you know, don't think that just because you haven't heard that you're not getting the job from some places.
Right, right.
And sometimes they try one person first. It doesn't work. So, don't get too discouraged because you definitely have a good job coming in pretty soon here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just see you're getting a little depressed, a little bit anxious. You know, older
folks
don't quit their jobs.
Well, it's like, how many books can I read?
Again,
like,
that's
how many times can I clean my apartment?
What
am I going to do with my life? I'm like, this is crazy. I said to myself, I never thought I'd feel this way. Never in a million years. Never.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm one for all my time. I love my time. I love my space. I mean, I can, like, color and I'd be happy.
Well, I'm not so sure that
doing.
You're bored. Boredom can sometimes really be depression. I think
you're more
depressed over the situation. So that's making you not just seek and learn something new or try something new or do something different. I mean, just, you know, make a day trip. Do something that you wouldn't ordinarily do, but when we're depressed, we don't have the energy to sort of plan or think it through.
Okay.
So you might be mistaking boredom for depression.
Okay.
So
I'm also thinking about working in the city. Is it going to be in the city? I hope so.
Okay. It looks like it could be in the city. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Manhattan is not that easy to get a job. It's probably harder than on Long Island right now.
Yeah.
Because of the internet, Manhattan isn't what it used to be in terms of jobs because you don't have to be in Manhattan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So apply in Manhattan, but you might find yourself getting discouraged because my clients who actually live in Manhattan are having a lot of trouble with job hunting and finding mm-hmm. jobs. So don't forget to look on Long Island too.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that as well.
I know, I can't believe, you know, we used to always go from, I lived in Merrick, that was a commuter town, everybody's father worked in the city, everybody took the train,
right.
So now to hear that people live in Manhattan and they're having trouble finding jobs, it's like, really?
Yeah.
And one of my clients travels from Manhattan to Long Island now, which I thought was, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, that's
you know,
that's
that
much.
To me was shocking. Do you mean it's like, has the world changed that much? So
yeah, it's a reverse commute.
So that's why I'm just saying don't limit your thing just to Manhattan, but also try to enjoy, try to figure out if there's some, I mean, where on Long Island do you live?
I live in Nassau County.
Okay. I mean, can you just go to the beach? Can you just, like, you know.
Oh, of course.
Take a
of
day
course.
Trip to the beach, you know. Just try to do some summery fun things because you might find that lifts your spirits a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're nervous about things, sometimes we just can't enjoy the day at all.
Right.
There's nothing worse than worrying about, am I ever going to work? Am I ever going to work? There's plenty of work on the planet. Try not to get that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very, very hardworking person. You'll get that job and keep that, you know, being positive.
Okay.
And again, you keep praying for a good job, right?
I do. Every night I send my prayers.
Okay, and one in which you'll be treated with respect.
Yes.
Great, because that's what I'm seeing here. Call in and let us know what happens. You're probably going to get
Cindy.
Some answers in the next few weeks, by the way.
Okay, sounds good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, love. Bye-bye.
You love. Bye. Oh, boy, Nicole, now you know why I've worked for myself for the last 40 years. I have no patience. I would never be able to go. I just can't do it. I've never had to, like, go on an interview in, like, 40 years. I mean, it's just so hard to go through that. Job hunting is so humiliating
mm-hmm.
for people. And half the time, And half the time they're just not, you know, interviewers can be respectful. They're not respectful to people. You know, sometimes they're, it's just hard. So, you know, even if your person's not going to get the job, if there's anybody listening who's job interviewers, just make the person feel good about themselves, be pleasant, wish them well. But a lot of times people leave interviews feeling like they really did bad, they did this. I mean, you could, I don't know if it's a big deal to say, you did great in the interview. We have a lot of candidates, so we'll see what happens. Be nice, for God's sake.
Yep.
Well, you know it. You hate job hunting, too.
Oh, my God. I couldn't stand it when I had to do it.
I know, and that's why
I couldn't stand it. I hated it. Every minute.
I know that. I know. So when I hear, sometimes... Today seems to be, I'm hearing people with their love problems and with their career problems, and I'm like, you know, life gets better sometimes when people get older. Don't let anybody say life gets worse. Life gets much better when you get older. For some reason, you kind of you learn how to deal with life better than when you're young. It gets easier. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Life doesn't get harder. Life gets easier in many ways. Are you finding it getting easier, Nicole?
A little bit, yeah. Definitely. I mean, especially from the obstacles that I put in myself. What's that?
You're a lot younger than me, so a little bit is what you'd feel better. I said, as you get older, you start going, look, I'm 61. What's going to happen?
No, well,
are you telling me my blood pressure's a little up? So what's it going to kill me in 30 years?
Do you know what I find the most, though? Like, quite honestly, do you know why life gets a little bit easier as you get older? Because you learn shit along the way. You know,
right, exactly.
Like I know that at this point in my life, I have probably, you know, created more obstacles and more drama for myself than the world has for me. So here I am blaming the world for a lot of stuff. Meanwhile, it was just a case of me getting in my own way. And I think as you get older, you learn not to get in your own way so much.
And you also learn what you can control, what you can't. And you also learn you survived this long. You learn I've survived this long. I'm still standing.
Yep.
I mean, that's what
Absolutely.
Somehow you start to realize the great liberation that comes with age is realizing, learning the lessons that you need to learn, realizing you have what you need to survive, and that you're not going to change people and you're not going to fix people. And you're going to have to pick yourself up and get on with your life and living. You also learn a little bit of patience and perseverance and endurance. And, you know, I just always tell people, you know, hang in there, especially like teenagers. There's so many teenagers. They're so despairing that we have such a high rate of suicide among young people. And I can't stress enough to people, life is hard, but it gets easier when you learn. So keep learning things. And don't keep trying, you know, making the same mistake. You know, most of the time people just keep drawing the same kinds of people to them, the same kind of experiences, because they're not learning the lessons. And, you know, learn the lessons. You know, when you're dealing with people who are narcissistic and your life isn't going to change, when you're job hunting, if an interview is not going well, we'll close that door and go to another one. But don't obsess about that you did something wrong. Sometimes your interviews can go hard, but don't take it personally.
Absolutely
so many not. Lessons to learn in life. So many lessons to learn in life. But life does get easier. That's all I have to say on that one.
Yes, it does.
Now, we do have Laura in Palm Beach. Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yes. Well, Laura actually has called you before, Cindy. I believe that she's called back in January. And right now, Laura actually wanted to, you know, was preferring to do a private reading with you, but unfortunately her finances were not permitting it at
That's
this time.
Okay.
So she figured
she'd
That's
give
you another
call. That's why we have
call.
This. That's why we
Absolutely.
Have this.
Absolutely. And basically, here's Laura in a nutshell. Laura is lost right now, Aww. Cindy. You know, she's having a little bit of money issues. She's really, really very, you know, disenchanted with, you know, with the world right now, you know. She's not really sure where her financial status is going to be. She's kind of at the end of a five-year relationship. Yes. There's a five-year relationship there that, you know, that, I mean, she's living with, the, you know, with this guy. And, you know, although, you know, he's trying to be what... what she wants him to be. You know, it's just she's not feeling what she thinks that love should feel like. You know, and her disenchantment is really just, it's really, really kind of sad.
So we
you know,
have Tanika and Rosie in one person. Did you notice? Now we have Tanika
yeah.
and Rosie in one person here.
Yes, we do.
And we sort
yes,
of have
we
a
do.
Theme. We sort of have a theme here because, you know, life is difficult. Life is hard. And again, if we keep thinking the same way and don't change our thoughts, life never changes. We have to change our thoughts. We can't play victim. Remember, what I've learned in 20 years of doing this is if we play victim to an economy, to a person, life doesn't change. It's when we stop being a victim. Nobody can abuse us without our permission, as Gandhi has said, and nobody can take advantage of us. And sometimes we just need to get up and move on. But the depression that I was talking about with Rosie, the depression that's going on in Tanika, depression is anger turned inward. It's a feeling of hopelessness. We have to fight against that because then we can't move forward. When we're depressed, we can't move. We just stay stuck.
No, we cannot.
And
exactly.
We can't even get out of bed.
And
we can't even get out of bed.
No.
Let alone.
You know, and like right now, for Laura, everything is just up in the air and she doesn't know, you know, she doesn't know what's going to fall, when it's going to fall, and she's just so unsure. You know, do you know what she reminded me of, Cindy? She's kind of like Eeyore. If you ever watch Winnie the Pooh, you know, it's just kind of like, I just want to be around my kids. I really don't like people anymore. You know, like just like very, very just like blasé about the world. She's not excited about the world, Cindy. We need to figure out for Laura how we're going to get her excited about the world and how we're going to get her excited about love and how we're just going to just light a fire under her that's just going to make her go, you know what, everything is going to be okay.
Good. And put Laura on because I remember Laura. She has a lovely voice. I like to talk to her.
Yes, she does. So here we go. Hello, Laura. You are on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Laura. I know that, you know, the feeling of like sometimes you can't believe how 5 years later you sort of feel like where you were 5 years ago. Like, how is this again? Mm-hmm. I've got to move on. Again,
exactly.
I've got to start over. And it's life tends to deal in 5-year cycles. Relationships in business and personal are definite 5-year things. So at the 5-year mark, God's saying fix it or leave it. Except your relationship looks like, you know, he wakes up when the gun's at his head and you're going to leave, and then you know he tells you what you want to hear. But 2 months later, you're back in the same spot. I see you in terms of career. Actually, when's your birthday? Just the month and the day?
July 28th.
Okay, you're having a birthday coming up. Good, good, good. Because I got an Ace of Swords card, which always comes around near someone's birthday. You have a very good year going to occur between one birthday and the next.
Okay.
So you're going to come back into your strength. You're very, very intuitive yourself. Do you work on your psychic abilities, your intuition?
Yes, I do try to do that.
Okay, because I see your intuition growing. Are your kids living with you now?
No, my older son moved in with his girlfriend. I like her, and they're, you know, seem to be doing well. I hope that goes well. And my younger son is with his dad, and he graduated college in May, so I was wondering if he was going to get a job out of state because he talks about that a lot. And
right, because I kind of see your kids look okay, so maybe you can relax on them.
Yeah. That's the only time I'm happy is when I'm around them.
Right. And I can see they're good kids, by the way. They're smart. They're good kids. And that she is a very nice girl, the one that your son's with.
Okay.
So that looks good there, too. For you, though, there's a lot of anxiety, mainly about moving on now. I think at this stage of your life, you sort of thought you might be more settled in one place. But we're going to live to be 100, so we got to get used to unsettling now. You know, if we're going to live that long, when people are 50 or, you know, 60, whatever it is, they're still young.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, try not to think, maybe I should just be happy and settle here, because I'm not seeing you.
Yeah.
I don't see the relationship getting better. I mean, it could be okay, but I don't see it.
He is better, but it's not, I don't feel like this is what I want, and I don't know.
Well, you
didn't
leave one marriage to get into another, like, not great relationship. We leave a marriage because we want something better.
Right, and I'm thinking this is not really, I thought this is what I wanted at the beginning was him, but I don't, now I'm thinking maybe not.
And again, I kind of can see in these cards why you're thinking maybe not. He's not a bad man. I just see that he can manipulate sometimes, tell you what you want to hear, but he does what he wants. He's like too old to change. He's very set in his ways.
Right.
And he's kind of too old for you, even if he's the same age. I don't know how old he is, but you're much younger in your thinking.
He is older than me, yeah.
Okay, but he's also, I mean, being older doesn't necessarily mean
no,
people
he
are
does.
Old, but he's an old for his age.
See, right now I don't have the job, and he does it. He treats me like a child at times. It's very frustrating.
Well, that's what
but,
I said. You don't need a daddy.
Yeah. No.
And he's a person who you can see when he's the one in control.
Mm-hmm.
He's not all that nice.
Right.
You know, you can always tell people by how they treat people who they think they're better off than. Like, look at how somebody treats a waiter or a waitress, when, you know, how they treat people. He's showing you he's the boss. He's kind of feeling like you should be indebted to him. You
mm-hmm.
should feel, you know, that, you know, he's the one that holds all the cards. But It's not the way it should be. You should still feel like an equal, even if someone's helping you at this time. Older souls don't ask for help very often, so when they need to ask for help, they're uncomfortable to begin with. So you would think that he would treat you in a way that would say, yes, I know you're looking for a job, relax, you know, enjoy your time off, keep looking, and, you know, I'm just glad you're here, and, you know, whatever. But he's not making you feel good about yourself.
Right.
And that's not helping the situation any. Like, I want you to just imagine if $50,000 dropped in your lap tomorrow.
Yeah,
would
I would
stay
be,
with him?
No, I would be gone.
Okay, good. All right. So,
yeah,
because
it's really all, it boils down to money. If I had enough money, I would go have a place closer to where my son lives in Boca, and I don't really want a man anymore. I don't know. I just don't think I attract the right person.
Again, that might change in the future, too, as you stand on your own two feet without a man. Once a woman stands on her own two feet for a year or two without a man, she knows who she is. She knows she can survive.
Right.
And when love goes from good and starts chiseling down that ladder of love to less than good, she says it from the first minute, excuse me, I didn't sign on for this. So
right.
This is how it's going to be. I'm out of here. I think your self-esteem you could work on a little bit.
Yeah, I've put on weight. I don't know. I just don't. 5 years, I had a job for 5 years. And I'm kind of almost sorry I gave that up. I gave it up like a year ago when I got this other job that I quit. I only had that one like 3 weeks. I couldn't stand it there. But then I feel like maybe I shouldn't have quit the other job. But really,
we can't look back now. We can't go,
okay.
I did this, if only
I
did that.
I have to stop that. That's
we can't, what if I can't support myself? What if I, you're a little bit of an OCD. Everybody's an OCD, but when life gets stressful, when we're out of work or stress hits, OCD goes up the charts.
Okay.
And we start going, if only this, if only that, what if this, what if that. We start living in the past and in the future almost as a way to distract that today sucks. I mean, deal with today, that today is not good, and I need to make my today better. Don't second guess and look back. We make mistakes. We got to move forward.
Okay.
But I see a new job for you. You might want to work on being a lover to yourself for a little while you're living with this man. You know, maybe concentrate on coming to that place of self-love, not dieting because you hate yourself, dieting because you love yourself and you want to be healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And work on maybe going for a walk each day, doing some things that make you feel good about yourself. But I do
right.
see a new job here.
Okay.
And God is asking, if we give you a new job, will you move on? I mean, if you want to be near Boca, are you looking for jobs there at all? Are you applying there?
I actually, yes. When I go online, I do look in that area too. I don't know if I'll be able to afford to live by myself there, but my goal is to live alone somewhere in Florida. I'm not leaving Palm Beach anymore. I've been here too long.
And when you live alone, I want you to think of yourself. Do you remember the old sitcom, That Girl with Marlo Thomas?
Yes, I do.
I want you to be that girl. That's how I felt after my divorce when I lived alone. I was that girl, you know.
See, I went through a little period of that because I had rented a room in someone's house. I had that job. My life was
that girl. Remember that?
Yeah, it was. I was having fun, and it was okay. And then it seems like now, before that happened, before I left my husband and all that, now I feel like I'm in the same boat, like all over again, just different person.
Right, and that's because you didn't learn the lessons fully when you left your husband.
Okay.
And the lessons that all women need to learn is that they have to clear their subconscious of the thinking that any man is better than no man. Any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, better than no man. We have to learn to stand on our own 2 feet. We have to learn to say what we mean what we say without being mean about it.
Right.
We have to expect to be treated as an equal. We don't want to be mommy to boys. Nor do we want a daddy. We don't want to be bossing us around. We want to be equals. And these are things that normally the man who comes after a divorce, by the way, is more similar to our husbands than we would like to admit.
Yeah, I noticed that. Isn't that weird?
It's frightening, isn't it? It's frightening.
Yes.
It's frightening.
I'm noticing that more and more. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Sometimes I'm like...
They just have a little bit of a different mask. Narcissists tend to hear what we say when we first meet. Oh, I don't want a man who does this is that. That's what my husband did. And then they say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. And then we're with them. We go, they do the same shit.
Yeah.
What is this? So know that you should get a laugh out of it because any woman who's been divorced has been through the same thing. They left one man. Now they're
seeming like out of this. How is this going to happen? I mean.
Well, because opening with your birthday in July comes a very good year. So I see within the very beginning of your new birthday year, you moving forward. And in the future, there's a wonderful soulmate, by the way.
Okay.
But it is a period of standing on your own 2 feet, having the courage. Again, we keep using that courage word today. I think that should be our theme for tonight. We all have fear. But those people who get a life that they love have courage. That's why we love to watch movies. We love to watch movies. People have courage in movies.
Right, that's true.
They change their life.
Right.
We have to do things in spite of fear. I'm not telling you to move out without any place to go.
Right.
But,
no.
And move out without a job. But figuring out you need a job, once you get that job, again, rent a room somewhere else. You're better off to rent a room and, you know, have your own door where you close the door and you have peace.
Right.
To live.
And quiet.
And this man, by the way, that you're living with, doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. He thinks you're the one that's wrong, by the way.
Right.
He thinks he's really like, you know, the cat's pajamas. He thinks he's easy to live with. He thinks he's just, you know, great. He doesn't know what you're talking about. So
true.
It's like
talking to the wall. He doesn't really understand what I'm saying.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like you're not going to change him. You're not going to fix him. I don't want you to resign yourself to living there. Do you mind telling us how old you are, by the way?
In July, I'll be 54.
Okay, so you're young yet. You're 54. You might think if you could live to be 100, you ain't going to live there for 100. You'll be, you know, first of all, you live with this man another decade, there'll be no way out but death. You'll be like, oh, God, please take me. I mean, we can't stay in these places. They make us sick. When we're unhappy in a place where we live, we get sick.
You know, that's funny, but yes, I'm starting not to feel good.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
Always feel good. Yeah. I always usually feel good, and I notice. And when I'm with my kids, I'm fine. I feel good. I'm smiling. I'm happy.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, that you're got yourself into a situation in which he's not good for your health, but I don't want you getting sick because then you'll say, well, now I'm sick. Now I have MS. Now I have Parkinson's.
Right.
Now I can't work. Now I have to stay with him. Just really visualize, practice the laws of attraction. See yourself living in a nice place. See yourself with love in the future, your children happy, you with a great job. Just keep seeing that rather than looking backwards or negatively thinking, oh, what if I never get a job? Try to be a little more positive. It changes everything. It really, really does. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna. I know what it is to be extremely negative. I know what it is to be stuck or playing victim. I realized around when I hit 41, I got to stop playing victim. I got to figure out how I got in this mess I'm in, and I got to figure out how to get out of it.
Right.
And it's really just saying I want more from life than this. And the man is kind of miserable with you, by the way, because, you know, my husband was pretty miserable with me. I figured out, let him be miserable without me. You know, if I'm here, be happy.
Right.
And, you know, negativity is very contagious, and the man you're living with is negative. So we catch that mindset, by the way. So that's why when you're near your children who are positive, then you catch that energy too.
Yeah, they are. They're happy, positive. It's, yeah, that's true.
So,
and
again,
he does remind me of my ex-husband. So
I know.
He doesn't really talk a lot. You know, he reads. He watches stupid shows on TV. Same exact thing.
Well, now you can see that what we didn't learn from the first man, God brought us another one show us that people tell us what we want to hear. The prince becomes the beast relatively quickly. You know, everybody tells us stuff, but we have to pay a little more attention to what people do, not so much what they say. I mean, every week I deal with women telling me, but he said he wanted a relationship. And I said, but you saw he was still online, but you saw he doesn't call you. But so because he says he wants a relationship, you're surprised he's cheating when his actions reveal he's not a man who wants a relationship?
And a few years ago, too, he was online, too. He was doing that. I have a feeling he's doing it again, but I don't even care anymore, actually.
Well, that's good because now you know you've overcome your fear of abandonment. You wish to God he'd find somebody else and you could just
sometimes
move on.
I do, and I could, quickly.
Right, and this way you won't have to break his heart or you won't have to be the bad guy.
Right.
But know that, you know, men who don't communicate, people who don't talk, women who don't talk to their mates, it's not right. You're either, you know, you have to communicate. People have to get out from under the television set or at least watch something with you. Like, I have very little time to watch TV, but I'll watch a little at the end of the night and kind of work out. And my husband and I will pick a show that we watch together. Something that we could talk about, the characters, talk about. We watched The Voice this year. We got a kick out of who's going to win. Of course, I picked the winner. But we liked it. We had so much fun listening to the music later on. We don't pick a show that I like or he likes, one that we can both then communicate so that the show is something we can share together. And I think we can use television to be something that helps us grow with our mates as we watch a movie or we talk about the characters and we talk about things. But if he's going to watch his own shows and not communicate to you, what do you need him for? You can go watch your own shows without him.
Also, I don't really – one brother I have I don't speak to and his wife. And the other one, the other sister-in-law – I'm about ready to give her up, too. Do you think that I should? I mean,
yeah, well, you know what? What I talk about is we're not our brother's keeper, and if people aren't good to us, we have to stop being loyal to people who don't deserve our loyalty, and why do we need people who make us feel bad?
Because I did order your new book. I did order that one.
and I'll call in after you read it because you're going to say, why didn't I know this stuff 20 years ago? Why
because
didn't
I
know
I have
enough?
She was fine, and now I think she's, you know, because I try not to be fresh with people, but she's a person that likes, you know, like I said, my son graduated college. Oh, well, now he's got to find a job. Like, she's never, like, happy for me.
Well, she'll never say, great, you did a great job as a mother. Your kid's gone through college. Hey, hooray for you. And now the next step is going to be even more exciting. The way she's saying it is she's raining on the parade.
Right. And I don't do that to people, so I don't like when it's done to me, and I'm thinking maybe it's just time to, you know, stop speaking to her.
Well, you know what? I don't keep people in my life who make me feel bad.
Right.
I've had too much of that in my life, whether they're family or whatever. If they're not making, you know, my life nice, if they're making me feel bad about myself, you know, the odd part about it is, you know, Jesus said a prophet's never recognized in his own country. You know, people pay money to talk to me. When I grew up, nobody would listen to a word I said. So why do I need to talk to those people who are going to make fun of everything I say?
Right.
At this point, I'm like, really? Nobody talks to me like that in the world. So I have to, like, have you. So you want people that build you up a bit, not knock you down.
Right. True. Okay.
Well, call in again. Let us know how you're doing.
Okay, I will. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we always enjoy hearing from you.
Okay, take care, Cindy.
Bye.
Bye.
And Nicole, we're at the end of our run tonight.
We are at the end of our run.
We had a little bit of a theme going on tonight. Could you see that?
Like, yes,
people,
I did.
Everybody seems
yeah,
to
well,
be
just
stuck.
Like you said, we had like two callers in one and Laura alone. So,
and again, it's moving forward, and you know, we got to get out of a negative mindset because that keeps you
oh,
trapped.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I mean,
it's
easy to
fall.
Do you see what I meant when I said that she's like Eeyore?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And you know what? And that's so sad because you know what? Like I just have a very, very distinct feeling or whatever that, you know what, that when Laura is smiling and happy or whatever, that she's just a great energy to be around. And I don't like people that are great energies to be around to be like Eeyore with no bother, doesn't matter, you know, just disenchanted. I don't like that at all. You know, I want Laura to be excited. I want everybody to be excited. You know what? Life is good. Even when it's
well,
bad,
that's what I said.
Good.
Life is an adventure. Life is an adventure. That's how I try to see it. Again, I told you, as you get older, you get braver. I mean, I feel like, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen? The best, I get less afraid, more take a few chances. What works, works. What doesn't work, doesn't work. And that's the way
yeah.
it is. And, well, we'll speak next week.
And actually, Cindy, on this ending note, I just want you to know that my book that you had given me when I was at your house has already been jacked by somebody who needs it. So it is currently out on loan to somebody. Okay. So unfortunately, I did not get to read as much of it as I had liked because somebody was like really, really just in a bad way that I know. And I was trying to help them in this and that. And I found myself just kind of reiterating what I've learned from you and everything that she was saying. I was like, you know what? Hold that thought. I said, I have just the book for you. I grabbed the book out of my bag and I handed it off and I said, but I need it back though because it's signed to me. So I do have to thank you for giving me the book when you did because if I did not see you that day, then literally within days after, I had to hand it off to somebody to read who really, really needed it. So I thank you very much for that.
And now what I tell my clients half the time they leave, I go, here, take this book. You need this book.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know what, I just handed it off. And you made me an excellent, excellent recommendation, that David Lawson recommendation that you made for me. I am learning so much about me.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And it's cool because all this time, you know how I keep telling you, you're like, well, you know, like you're naturally gifted and this person, and I got to work on mine and this and that and everything else. I notice little nuances that I get all the time that I completely, completely discount as having anything to do with anything metaphysical or you know, in the world beyond. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I've done that. Oh, yeah, I see that all the time. Oh, yeah, I do that. And then he's like explaining what it is, and I go, oh.
Oh. Right, and that's why I said it's a very – David Lawson's book, How to Develop Your Sixth Sense, is a very simple book, very easy. It's easily written. It's not hard to read. It's matter-of-fact
yes.
and practical. That's why I wanted to give you a
yes,
practical
very
book
much so.
On honing your psychic abilities, not a woo-woo out there. Just something practical
so you
can see – I've been doing this a long time. I have been doing this.
Well, I need practical in particular because my practicality is probably why I don't pick up as much as I do because I sit here and I talk too much. I sit here and I think too much. Instead of just going with my gut and going with my intuition, I think way too much. So the fact that he is a practical mind going into this, I can relate better than if somebody was just completely out there.
When you asked me, I have about 8,000 books, and I said, no, this is Nicole. Okay. This one.
Well, I have
is
to thank
Nicole.
You for that recommendation as well. So I immediately
Good.
Went out and got it, and it's serving me well. So thank you very much, Cindy.
Good. You're welcome. And I'll speak to you soon, and everyone have a wonderful evening.
Yes.
Bye.
Goodbye, Cindy.
Bye.